You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Behind closed doors, in this leaked audio, talking to Border Patrol agents, Mayorkas says the situation is more dire than he is publicly willing to admit.
This
Listen.
Is unsustainable. These numbers cannot continue. We cannot get to a point where we were a couple weeks ago, and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're looking at the policy options.
Behind closed doors, in this leaked audio, talking to Border Patrol agents, Mayorkas says the situation is more dire than he is publicly willing to admit.
This
Listen.
Is unsustainable. These numbers cannot continue. We cannot get to a point where we were a couple weeks ago, and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're looking at the policy options.
This is Friday, August the 13th. Friday the 13th. Yes, we wanted to play that twice back-to-back. I asked Quentin to dub it back-to-back so you could hear it twice. That is Mayorkas on a leaked audio admitting we don't know what the hell we're doing at the border. We're totally lost. We don't know. We're going to have to revise our policy. You never had a policy except to open the border. Now, Mayorkas was just down at the border, and he presented a news conference and said, we got everything under control. Our plan is working. It's a challenge, but we know what we're doing. That audio, part of a conversation he's having with some others behind closed doors, said, no, they don't know what they're doing. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next couple of hours. Also, the other issues that continue to pressure the Biden administration and show that they are absolutely clueless on what to do. And a lot of the issues they've created themselves. For instance, the continuing reports and concerns about COVID and Delta variant, and that you have to mask up and you have to get vaccinated and double masked and maybe vaccinated again while the illegals have just been coming across. It was just last week the Department of Homeland Security admitted we are going to start giving vaccinations to illegals just last week while they've been demanding others from you. And then you've got an amendment that went to the Senate budget resolution that would require illegal migrants apprehended on the border be tested for COVID before they're transported away from the border. Sometimes they've done it, sometimes they haven't. When they have done it, out of a pool of 100, they'll find 20-plus testing positive. So if they test positive, they were to be quarantined, not transported from the border until they test negative. That was an amendment going into a Senate budget resolution. Do you know that with all this concern and the noise that we're getting from the left, 11 Senate Democrats voted against dealing with the illegals at the border at that point and forcing them to be tested. 11 Democrats. Does that make sense? Of course it doesn't make any sense. We got a lot on that also coming up today. And, of course, just last month, President Biden dismissed the possibility the Taliban would swarm through Afghanistan. Look at what's happening now. They have captured at least 8, 9, maybe 10 major cities in Afghanistan. Kabul is next. We are now sending 3,000 U.S. Marines and Army soldiers in to rescue Americans still in that region, many of them embassy personnel. And I thought this was going to be just an easy withdrawal. What are they fouling up? Do they even have a real plan? Who's Biden going to blame for this one when it's over with? Does it remind you of the Saigon helicopter lift in the closing days of Vietnam, for those of you who remember that story? We're going to be joined later this hour by Steve Bucci, former U.S. Army Ranger, now with the Heritage Foundation, and get his take on what's happening in Afghanistan, what needs to be done, what should have been done. And, of course, also in the process of this, we still have another Biden crisis. Biden actually, after trying to shut down our pipe, did shut down our Keystone XL pipeline and closing off a lot of oil land leases and so forth. Now he's asking OPEC, can you produce some more oil? Can you send us some more barrels of oil? We're becoming energy dependent on others, even some of our enemies going forward. And Fauci on vax mandates. He says vax mandates are coming as soon as the FDA actually approves full.
Behind closed.
They will absolutely rush forward and then start ordering everyone to be vaccinated. And in some cases they already have. That's going to amount to revising Jim Crow laws again. Also the Hunter Biden tape, sexcapade. More on that story. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is a temporary mission with a narrow focus. As with all deployments of our troops into harm's way, our commanders have the inherent right of self-defense, and any attack on them can and will be met with a forceful and an appropriate response. This is a very narrowly focused mission of safeguarding the orderly reduction of civilian personnel out of Afghanistan, and that's what we're going to be focused on.
It's not a combat mission.
Lucas, I've already described this mission now three times. We're mindful that the security situation continues to deteriorate in Afghanistan.
So you're mindful. Is that what you're telling us? Yeah, that is Kirby, the Pentagon White House press secretary, telling reporters yesterday, yes, we are going to be sending some troops into Afghanistan just mainly because we need them. I mean, we're not going to send them otherwise, right? So John Kirby, again, of the Pentagon, saying we're sending them in to help evacuate Americans from the embassy at Kabul. They obviously are in threat, danger at this point. I want to remind you again, as I said in the opening monologue, it was just last month. Just last month, President Biden dismissed the possibility the Taliban would swarm to Afghanistan. In fact, July 8th, he said. So the question now is, where do they go from here, talking about the Taliban? He said the jury is still out. Right. He said, but the likelihood that there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything, owning the whole country, is, quote, highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Yesterday, Afghan's third largest city, Herat, located on the border with Iran, fell to the Taliban. Taliban say they've also seized Kandahar City, the second largest, and the Taliban's spiritual home. No U.S. military forces on the ground right now, very few assets in the skies. Pentagon can't confirm that Kandahar has fallen, but they acknowledge, quote, it doesn't look good. U.S. officials again confirming that they are in the process of evacuating personnel from the U.S. Embassy in Kabul as the Taliban continues to expand. In fact, U.S. military officers at the Pentagon telling Fox News the images of the Taliban taking over Afghanistan are, quote, demoralizing. This is all melting down in a short period of time. Now, keep in mind, I'm in favor that we pulled out, that we began to withdraw. Trump was going to do it. I was for it. We cannot be the policeman for everyone everywhere. At some point, the country has to stand up on its own. So what has gone wrong here? Were they not as prepared, the Afghan military, as we thought they were, or they just don't have the will, or are they just running, which they may well be doing? Some of them even joined the Taliban, saying, I can see the writing on the wall. I'm not going to lose my head. You're going to be in charge again. We'll go on back to your side. In the meantime, while this is underway, the ambassador to the U.S., Afghan's ambassador to the U.S., is calling on the U.S. to ramp up, quote, the air campaign against the Taliban. The White House still insisting Afghan forces have what they need to fight back. So that's why John Kirby was being pressed repeatedly. Is this going to be a combat operation? No. We're going in to rescue Americans. But if fired upon, we will fire back. I just wonder if they're going to have to go through a chain of command to call all the way back to D.C. and find somebody. Is it okay we shoot back? He's now shooting at us, or it's too late. But the Afghan ambassador said, you need to have some of these airstrikes. John Kirby, Pentagon press secretary, said, it's not always going to be feasible, but where and when feasible, we will support them with airstrikes. Well, again, the Afghan ambassador said, it is feasible. You did that post 9/11 is effective. You took control of the entire country in 2 weeks. I was there. But we're not doing it this time. But we are going to send 3,000 personnel, U.S. Marines, two Marine infantry battalions, one Army infantry battalion, going into the Kabul airport to secure the civilian population. They say diplomatic work continues at the embassy. And again, Kirby saying this is a temporary mission, a narrow focus. We're still trying to reduce our civilian footprint in Kabul in light of the evolving security situation. Read the lines in between saying, damn scary. And to that extent, as to how you classify it, again, when you're a diplomat, you look for all the words that fit in a way that it won't be sounding so bad. So you got State Department spokesman Ned Price in a separate conference saying, this is not abandonment. This is not an evacuation. It's a very important distinction between planning and contingency planning. Well, I've said numerous times, if you had a plan A and it doesn't work, that's why there are 25 other letters in the alphabet. B, C, D. Where are we now with this group? X, Y? Let me read you a piece written by a former Green Beret, Congressman Mike Waltz. He represents Florida's 6th District in the U.S. House. He is a member of the Armed Services Committee. Green Beret veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Also former White House counterterrorism policy advisor. He wrote a piece for Fox News, an opinion piece. Let me just read some of his remarks. The devastation in Afghanistan is heartbreaking and infuriating. The Taliban are barreling towards seizing control of the country, could very well take Kabul before the 20th anniversary of September 11. I think it's going to be well ahead of September 11. He adds, in their wake, Al-Qaeda is poised to come roaring back and attack America once again. As an American, I'm enraged that the sacrifices of so many have been made in vain. As a congressman, I'm tormented by seeing the nightmare unfold I've worked so hard to try to prevent. As a Green Beret, I'm fearful for my abandoned Afghan interpreters who've been given a death sentence by the Taliban because they joined America in our fight for freedom over terror. And as a father, I'm sickened by what's to come for the Afghan women and girls that are being mercilessly abused by the Taliban and sold into sex slavery. And then he adds, it's unclear whether Biden is clueless or heartless or both. But he's living up to his reputation as being, quote, wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. That was a quote from former Defense Secretary Robert Gates. That's just one of the issues the White House can't seem to get a hold on. Another, obviously, is COVID. And, of course, the border. The border, which they won't admit, is a crisis. And yet, Mayorkas the other day, after visiting the border, came out and said, oh, well, it's still a challenge, but we've got a plan, and it's working. That's what he told you publicly. But then behind the scenes, this leaked audio says otherwise.
Behind closed doors, in this leaked audio, talking to Border Patrol agents, Mayorkas says the situation is more dire than he is publicly willing to admit.
Listen. This is unsustainable. These numbers cannot continue. We cannot get to a point where we were a couple weeks ago, and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're looking at the policy options.
Yep, we just don't know exactly what's going on. That's kind of what he's admitting, and saying our policy. And again, this is a closed-door meeting. The word got leaked out, I would imagine, probably from one of the Border Patrol agents in there that were taping it. Good for them. Because this is the only way we're going to find out what's really happening. Because when we have the official line that everything's okay, we're in control, and we know it's not, of course. But then you get actually on tape the very guy that just issued that statement to the media and press from the U.S. and around the world, conceding this isn't working. We're going to have to rethink everything. This is not working. That's where you find the truth. And then, of course, all these illegals still coming across. As I mentioned in the opening monologue, DHS just last week decided maybe we should start vaccinating these illegals. And you do know they have not always tested everyone coming in. But when they do test, about 20% of those they test prove to be positive with COVID. And we may keep them, maybe give them a mask or whatever. We put them on a bus, go deeper in the interior, or in fact, we put them on a plane and fly them deeper into the country. And we have been doing this. And then when a bill is introduced in the Senate the other day, to demand that no illegal leave our border until they're tested for COVID, 11 Senate Democrats vote against it. There's no explanation. And then, of course, we had the whole thing about COVID and what, how for so long anyone who spoke that it might have come from the lab and that it came out of China, it's just the fact it came out of China, that you were a conspiracy theorist. Well, of course, we now are waiting on this national intel report that the president ordered for intel agencies to give him a full report. Now, yesterday, Fred Flights, president and the CEO of the Center for Security Policy, said, no sense waiting. There's not going to be anything really in there. They're just going to kind of blow past it. And you get the same response from David Ashner, Hudson Institute. He did work for the State Department trying to find the source of COVID.
Putting aside all the intelligence community, I think that, this has not been conducted as an investigation. It's been sort of an intel project. An investigation would assume that we've got a crime scene, a crime was committed, a cover-up has happened, and we try to explain, are the conditions that account for this genetic sequence present in that laboratory? Were they working on bats, pangolins, humanized mice, monkeys? You know, if they were, and it involved manipulating the genetics to make them more dangerous to create a COVID-19, we probably could answer the question definitively right now.
Yeah, definitively right now. They were doing gain of function at the Wuhan lab. U.S. money was involved in it. Dr. Fauci fake knows it, but been trying to cover up. So, well, we didn't send it over for that. And that was, as he told Senator Rand Paul, you don't know anything. That was not gain of function. You don't understand. I think we all understand that when you take a virus and you begin to manipulate it, you're using gain-of-function technology, and the idea then would be to weaponize it. And this, I want you to hear this Fox report on the GOP COVID investigation report, which they issued recently.
The Republican report says, quote, "We now believe it's time to completely dismiss the wet market as the source of the outbreak. We also believe the preponderance of the evidence proves the virus did leak from the WIV and that it did so sometime before September 12, 2019. The report references satellite images of Wuhan in September and October 2019 that show a significant increase in hospital visits. In October of that year, Wuhan hosted thousands of international athletes for the World Military Games. The report says athletes complained of illness, and four countries that sent athletes to Wuhan confirmed COVID-19 cases in November and December of 2019, before the outbreak became public. China's government has intensified its propaganda efforts against any evidence pointing towards a lab leak and has instead demanded investigations into the United States. Republicans produced their report without congressional Democrats. Democratic leaders say they're waiting on the Biden administration's intelligence review due at the end of the month."
And that means they're waiting for an excuse to say, "No, we don't really know." One source being quoted now, this is even on CNN and NNN, that supposedly knows something about the intel report that's to be released. The one source says, as it stands now, it contains, quote, "nothing too earth-shattering." In other words, I think it's going to say, well, we can't really prove if it did or didn't come from it. And we have another issue with the Biden administration. We were well on our way being energy independent before Biden came in. Now we're having to beg for oil. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, today or yesterday, the Biden administration asked OPEC to produce more energy. Asked OPEC. You know, the American First policy was pretty clear. It's called energy dominance. And when we were in power, America went from 8.3 million barrels a day and declining to 12.5 and rising, we became the largest producer of energy on the continent and in the world. And you look at now, we're asking our foreign allies, sometimes adversaries, to produce more energy when we have it here.
How about that? Those are the words of former Interior Secretary of the Department of Interior, Ryan Zinke, also a former Montana congressman, also now in another congressional race. That was an interview he did with Breitbart News Daily on Sirius XM. He said, as you heard him point out, we were at one point producing 8.3 million barrels a day, declining. And then with the Trump administration, we went back up to 12.5. We became the largest producer of energy in the world. Now, with the Biden administration, all those pushing for the new Green Deal and get rid of everything that's oil and fossil-oriented, shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, shut down oil and gas leases here and there, clamp down on anything you can that would encourage folks to use a gasoline car or truck and force them to either go without or go for full green energy, we are now desperate. Because it's not going to happen overnight anyway. And then the same Biden administration that put all that in effect then turns around and makes a deal that allows Russia to put a pipeline into Germany, making Germany and other European countries more dependent upon Russia than us. Do you hear anything I just said that makes it any sense at all to you that says that the U.S. is secure and making the right decisions? And keep in mind, one of the big things they say, well, it's going to be environmentally better. Environmentally better. Again, I want to take you back to hearing Ryan Zinke, former Interior Secretary of the Department of Interior.
Environmentally, it is better to produce energy in this country under reasonable regulation than watch it get produced overseas with no regulation. And then in national security, without question. Now, why would we position ourselves to be beholden to foreign entities on our energy needs? You know, in the Trump administration, energy dominance was not just oil and gas. It was across the board. It was wind. It was solar. To put the United States in a position where we're not held hostage and we don't have to ask OPEC to produce more energy. This is nuts.
Nuts is right. Nuts. I know you're already seeing the effects of this. You go to the service station, you fill up your car, and suddenly, oh my gosh, I used to be able to do it on maybe two-thirds or half that amount. And pretty soon, a third of what you're going to be charged. The more dependent we become upon the OPEC nations, which include a lot of our adversaries, all of that entire group, we're going to face a shortage of fuel. And you wait until we get into winter. And winter blasts its way through, and watch how those rates are going to go at that point. We're already seeing some of it on another side of it right now with the increase, the heat and so forth. Folks, of course, using air conditioning more than all. But where do you think all that electricity comes from? Everything from windmills? Not likely, right? It's short-sighted to say it's only going to be green or nothing. That is the attitude of the progressives. Of course, many of them are using your tax dollars to fill up their cars at this point. Look, again, I don't care if you're a Democrat. That's fine. We can have differences on some things like that, but you just answer me this. Are you willing and wanting and anxious to pay $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon? Oh, I thought so. I thought so. When we come back, 30 years as an Army Special Forces officer and a top Pentagon official, Steve Bucci, on what's going right and what is going wrong with Afghanistan. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, there's all those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Even as I speak, right now as I speak, we've got 3,000 Marines and Army forces headed to Kabul. And as I speak, the Pentagon is holding a briefing We're waiting to see more details come out of that. The Taliban apparently closing in on the Afghan capital of Kabul. We have some 4,000 U.S. citizens still in the region. Joining us now, Stephen Bucci, served America 30 years as an Army Special Forces officer, top Pentagon official, now with the Heritage Foundation. Steve, glad to have you on board again.
Oh, it's good to be back on the show, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, we always appreciate having you. Now, what is your take at this point? Before you joined us, I ran clips of John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, saying this is not a combat mission. We're just simply going in. We're just a contingency type plan. How do you take those remarks?
Well, I hope he's right, but I think he's wrong. They're obviously not going in there to try and beat back the Taliban. They're there to protect the Americans that are still there and to evacuate them. About a month ago, the Biden administration said, hey, look, you know, the Taliban's not like the North Vietnamese army. They're not going to be rolling in there. We're not going to have people coming off the roof of the embassy. And it looks like that's exactly what we're going to have.
When you say the roof of the embassy, you're referring back to Saigon 75 and the helicopter airlift and all those pictures of folks boarding from the top of our embassy.
That's exactly what I'm referring to, where we had to pull our people out in an emergency situation with some of the folks who worked for us and worked with us for a long time, you know, grasping at the skids of the aircraft to try and get out because they knew they were going to be slaughtered or at least sent to incredibly draconian re-education camps, yeah, which is what happened to them. So I think we're going to see something similar to that happening now, Larry. It's really going to be a tragedy.
I was reading before you joined us also a piece written by former Congressman Michael Waltz of Montana, contributing a column for Fox News, former Green Beret, and of course, probably like Marines, once a Green Beret, always a Green Beret. But he said, as a Green Beret, I'm fearful for my abandoned Afghan interpreters who have been given a death sentence by the Taliban because they joined us in that fight. I also asked the same question about all those with the Afghan military. Do they have the will to stand up and fight, or are they going to be turning and running? Is that why we have the Taliban just rushing over all these cities? I don't really see that much resistance. Your take.
Well, they in some cases they fought and fought as well as they could and were just overwhelmed. In others, some of these regional capitals, including their police and the military that are there, have just switched sides.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds really horrific to Americans,
sure,
but keep in mind, in Afghanistan, that's sort of the cultural thing to do. If it looks like your side's going to lose, you switch.
It's survival.
You join the other side.
It's survival. Yeah. My God, for you and your family, that's understandable. Let me back up for just a moment. Trump was going to withdraw the troops, and I think many of us agree. Yeah, let's get out of there. Even though we've lost 2,000 plus, you know, throughout this entire time, and that's shorting them. I think it's closer to 2,400. You probably know it better, but. But we can't police the whole world, and if we have them properly trained, then we should pull out. We can't continue to do that. What was your take on – he did set a date, which I've never liked putting a date, but he kind of gave a general time frame. That's been moved around the Biden administration. What should we be pulling out? Should we stay? Should we reinforce? And how do you successfully pull out? Are we going out losers?
Look, this has been handled poorly. President Trump did make the decision, hey, we're done with this. We're going to get out of there. He did not give a specific date. He did not, say when we pull out that, you know, every single American was going to leave. He was not anywhere near that specific.
You're right.
With it, for exactly the reason of, if you are that specific, the enemy can leverage that, can use it to their advantage. The Biden administration came in and said, everybody's going to be gone by September 11th. And they tied it to the 20th right. anniversary because obviously somebody in their public affairs office said, hey, boss, this will be really cool if we do it this way.
Yeah, really cool.
The Taliban basically said, boy, that's super. We know what they're going to do. We know when they're going to do it. We're on the march. And I think what we should have done is remove the troops in a much more measured fashion, not being specific with dates, not being specific with capabilities, but probably kept some of our soft people, our special ops folks in there to continue to work side by side as advisors with the Afghan government.
Well, let me draw down on that point. We're going in to rescue 4,000 Americans still there. I mean, how did we get to the point that we still had that many American in various, I assume, embassy diplomatic type positions and families still in country while all this was, why we didn't plan to move them out before we really start breaking down the troops?
Apparently not. Now, I don't think any of those couple of thousand are family members. We haven't had families there ever, I think.
Okay. All right.
But they are, you know, government personnel, probably some contractors in any number of fields, you know, of supporting the government. So it's not just military folks that we give support to. There's law enforcement. There's their equivalent of the Justice Department. There's a lot of civil engineering kind of people help them run utilities, roads, things like that.
Well, again, I come back to my point.
Right.
Whoever they are, why did we not start yanking them out long before now?
Exactly. Those people should have been removed long before we started drawing down the military, because the military are the ones who are, you know, holding up the stability and security part. The Biden administration basically has done this very cavalierly, very unprofessionally, frankly, and they own this disaster. This is not something they can throw back on President Trump.
No, they'll find a way.
They'll give it a shot.
Yeah,
they really have no business doing it.
This one,
they screwed up and they own it.
You're listening to Steve Bucci, 30 years as an Army Ranger, now the Heritage Foundation. I want to run this past you. The Afghan ambassador is calling us to use at least an extremely limited air campaign to help fight the Taliban. And the White House response, or at least the press secretary for the Pentagon, said, well, an airstrike isn't always going to be feasible, but when we can, we will. And the ambassador, Afghan's ambassador, said, it is feasible. You did it post 9/11. It's effective. You took control of the entire country in 2 weeks. I was there. Why not use airstrikes at this point, even drone strikes that don't endanger American lives?
There's no reason not to, other than the fact that Biden really just wants to cut and run. The ambassador is exactly right. We use airstrikes with very limited American personnel. We had our special ops folks, you know, Green Berets like myself, who were in there, you know, with laser designators pointing out targets. And then we were hitting them with our precision munitions. And it took the Taliban down in almost no time. You could do that without, you know, he could have done it without even backing off on his departure date.
So
and let the Taliban know, we're not just going to walk away. We're going to stay there, you know, in this fashion supporting, but they chose not to do that.
How vital is Afghanistan to us? And is it really going to, if, you know, once we're out entirely, it will likely become an Al-Qaeda terrorist stronghold and they'll be gathering all the terrorists from the world, the plans from there. What is your take?
That is the problem. Is Afghanistan itself, you know, critically important to America? No, we don't get any, you know, minerals from there. We don't get any sort of assets that way. But it's a sort of a negative key terrain in that, you know, if the Taliban invite, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS and their ilk back in there in force and deny us the ability to go after them, that becomes a problem. Those folks can build up there and turn around and be used against us or against our allies. It will also cause continued destabilization in the region, giving Iran on one flank and China on the other an opportunity to go in there and do mischief. So it's a regional problem, but a wider problem because it totally destroys any confidence in America again as an ally or
that's a good
friend
point. Excellent
when you get
point
in real trouble.
Yep, excellent point. Steve, as always, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to be obviously back in contact with you over the next several days. The rest of you guys at Heritage that have the boots on the ground experience, thank you very much for your time, sir.
It's my pleasure, Larry. Take care, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yes, sir. Stephen Bucci, 30 years, Army Rangers, Green Beret. Afghan on the brink, according to the Pentagon, as they're stating their statements right now. I don't know if they're saying that. But then gun control issue coming up. You don't want to miss this next story. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as I said, the Pentagon is holding a briefing now as 3,000 forces, that's 2,000 Marines, 1,000 Army Special Forces, en route to Kabul, and reports that the Taliban are surging closer to the Afghan capital, where we have some 4,000 U.S. citizens still in various capacities, as we heard from our guest a moment ago. They might be contractors or things of that nature. He did assure me that there are no families. Would not have been allowing families to go in. I thought that was true, but I wasn't sure. But Steve Bucci, Heritage Foundation, knows the latest facts. He said there are no families there. But, of course, everyone there has a family here, one way or the other, right? And then there's a picture that got posted on the Fox News website. I'm just going to share with you. And I'm all for doing this because if Trump were in charge and did this while we have this riot, however you want to describe it, going on in Afghanistan right now, the state-controlled media, or at that time mainstream media, would go on ballistic with it. On one side of the picture, they have folks going up a stairwell to get on board a helicopter leaving the embassy in Saigon in 75. At the same, on the left side, they've got Biden walking past a U.S. Marine to board Air Force One or Chopper One going on vacation. You see that, don't you? Yep, he's headed off on vacation. He can still do what he needs to from wherever he is. Staying at the White House isn't going to change anything, but at the same time, it's the optics. But I don't think they care anymore about the optics. Well, it's going to come back to bite them. And here's another part of the optics, by the way. You know, of course, this last week we had two police officers shot in a, quote, routine car stop in Chicago. One still in critical condition. A 29-year-old female officer died Saturday night after that traffic stop. We know now the gun used in that shooting and the murder of that police officer was illegally possessed. But wait a minute, here it comes. This is what the leftist attempt and approach on gun control amounts to when they're trying to control your Second Amendment rights as they demand more and more gun laws. And this is what happens as they begin to say, well, we're going to try to get folks to be nicer, so we're just going to treat them nicer. If we don't incarcerate them, maybe they'll be nicer. In other words, let's don't put it bails and let's let people go early and without charges and things of this nature. There's a U.S. magistrate judge, and I'm doing everything I can now from going ballistic right here, that dealt with this gun purchaser. The guy that purchased the gun, he didn't do the shooting, but he purchased it. and gave it to someone else to use. It is what they call, obviously, a straw purchaser. That means you know you can't buy a gun, but you get somebody to buy one for you. You can't buy one because you're a felon. You got a record. So you get someone else to go buy it for you. And the guy that bought the gun, he did not pull the trigger, but he bought the gun and then gave it to this guy that then used it on the officer. The judge decided to release him from federal custody. He bought the handgun, then gave it to the 21-year-old who then ended up using it to shoot the police officers and kill one of them. The release includes orders to, quote, be supervised by pretrial services. Now, the gun buyer's brother says, hey, my brother's a good guy. He just can't say no. He has an issue giving in to peer pressure. He said, I know they intimidated him. They forced him to get the gun, then they took it from him. That might be. That might be. But right now, when we're told that we've got to have tougher gun control laws, and our response always is, why don't we enforce the laws we have? It is illegal to buy a gun with the intent of giving it to a felon who can't buy a gun. Of course, I remind you, we still have one of those officers still in critical condition. And when the mayor went to check on that officer, the father of that officer turned his back on the mayor as she came through, and other officers did the same. The father is also was a police officer. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to dig more into the fact that the Biden Department of Homeland Security Secretary is caught on tape admitting we can't fix this the way this is going. We don't have control. That kind of admission, and already many are saying, yank his butt out of that position. We're going to be dealing with that story and a lot more coming up in the next hour. Make sure your friends and family know we're on the air. Join us next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.